Broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay. Hi, good evening, everyone, and I hope that everything is clear. There's a little bit of stalling operative on my computer. So I hope this does not get in the way. Before we begin, inside the chat box are the links for the next two preparatory meditations tonight, or my night anyway. The meditation is on love, and tomorrow, resurrection, and the day after, contact. And then we will have a pre-full moon, and then there will be the actual full moon at 7 p.m. 12 and 14, 7, 12, 14 GMT. And that will be a broadcast and not a webinar at the usual live link. Which is the YouTube link. So tonight we're working on the energy of love, and when you, well, you know, you kind of wonder, it's considered to be a presented attribute in the words of esoteric psychology. And although it has been presented by the Christ, just the way light and wisdom have been presented by the Buddha, you kind of wonder the extent to which the majority of humanity has absorbed this great attribute. Certainly, it is rather rarely in demonstration these days with regard to the love of humanity. And we can see polarization everywhere and a dichotomy, but it's okay in one sense that the lines between good and evil, between the soul and personality have to be clearly demarcated, because otherwise people just won't know what the stakes are, what the consequences are, and how to choose. There's a lot of suffering that humanity is going through prior to the year 2025, and hopefully it will make a difference. And I've noticed, you know, that where the United Nations is, of course, we have United Nations headquarters also in Geneva, which is more of a Ray 2 location. But the major United Nations headquarters is in New York, a Ray 2 city, even though it is a sixth ray planetary center. And there is where we've just been talking about it, the fight for democracy, which is a Ray 2 form of government, will occur and is in the process of occurring. There is a retrogressive tendency towards autocracy, and you always have that where there is ignorance and authoritarianism and the devotional love of the leader. The Dude, the Führer, you know, whatever, it absolves one of responsibility and is an immature state of consciousness. Well, we have that. We certainly have that in the United States, and let's see what happens in the other Ray 2 grouping, which is in the United Kingdom. We have big problems there, and really, it spreads around the world. Brazil has it with its Ray 4 and 2, and Hungary has it, and there's a lot of places where a recalcitrant authoritarianism is taking the place of the will of the people. So we're working behind the scenes. We're trying to, as members of the new group of world servers, we're trying to work to bring about a much stronger tendency towards unity. We know that the synthesis just is, you know, it's the state of oneness of things, but unity between all of the different parts and perceptions and aspects, that has to be created. That has to be somehow through great effort brought to bear. So this is the kind of context in which we are working. Injustice prevalent, and egotism based on egoism, and a tendency towards friction and division. I've been reading, I'm doing some work in externalization of the hierarchy these days, and you know, there's some maybe 63 programs that will soon be available. Another 200 pages to go, maybe. And there's a wonderful tabulation where it speaks of synthesis, unity, and separation. And you can imagine which of the three planetary centers is aligned with which. Synthesis for Shambhala, unity for hierarchy, and such is the nature of limited perception in humanity that we do have separation as the characteristic of humanity. All right, friends, now, so this will not be, of course, as long a meditation as the pre-full moon or as the actual moment of the full moon. Let's see, which begins about an hour and a half. So if it's 7:12:14 GMT, it's going to begin at about 5:45 on the 5th of the 5th of June. Meanwhile, we're going to be using the same webinar link for the next few webinars, resurrection, contact, and on, I guess, on Thursday, the usual pre-full moon, which has more the astrological emphasis. So I think we're ready to go. And, you know, by now you should be, I would say, quite familiar with the general approach. Okay. So we begin by withdrawing our consciousness from the personality and its vehicles and enter deeply into the presence of the soul. First, of course, we are the soul in incarnation. Let's try to somehow realize that. We use the instrument called the etheric physical, but it is external to what we are. We use the instrument called the astral body, the body of sentiency, but it is external to what we are. We also use the concrete mind, full of its thoughts and cogitations, but we are behind and within it. We are, to use the technical term, we are substantial to the concrete mind. Really, we are even substantial to what we call the causal body. The word substance pretty much means that which stands under and within and is not identified with the instrument. So try to get the sense of yourself as the soul in incarnation, the consciousness largely within the personality field, but not entirely identified with that field, and less identified with that field. Until we begin to slip into another field of light, love, and spiritual sacrificial will or power, and one day we will reawaken to our presence within the causal body, and hopefully this can be engineered even in our meditations now. So merge yourself deeply as a soul into the deep sense of group soul. The soul does not know personality boundaries when soul is expressing in its pure form. And we imagine that we are uniting in soul with the spiritually minded people of the world, the men and women of goodwill, everywhere to be found. Get the sense of that deeper union. And even more so with the members of the new group of world servers. And we hope to be so consistent in our service and so useful that we can really be deemed to be members of this subjective group related to the various ashrams and to each other. We can't let form stand in the way of our identification with the new group of world servers. And finally, what is maybe the most important thing is that we visualize the group soul, the consciousness, let us say, of the members of the new group of world servers and of the smaller meditating and acting groups within it. We visualize the group soul merging with however we conceive the one soul of humanity. And all the many, the billions of human units in the body, out of the body, the consciousness of each and every one is ultimately part of this group soul that encompasses all human beings. So just imagine that no matter whom you encounter, it's really a fellow soul within the one soul. It's just one being with one consciousness. Now that would be a very important realization. To realize that in Rule 5 and Rule 9, there is no my soul and thy soul. And it is true, though maybe difficult to grasp at first, that naught is but me. Now that would really be a blow against the great heresy of separateness if we could realize naught is but me. Then in our group here meditating, and I imagine blending with other groups that seek to meditate 3 days or so before the Gemini full moon, we imagine the connection between the astral body and the Buddhic plane passing through a field of retained energies around the mental unit. The energies from the lower parts of the personality, the love petal energies, the knowledge petal energies, the love petal energies, sacrifice petal energies, synthesis petal energies, and even energies from the jewel in the lotus. We imagine this not just individually, but in a group sense, the group lotus, and the group personality, and gathering all those energies into a field of retained energies through which our multicolored Antikarana passes on its way into the triad and towards the monad, with the color indigo particularly emphasized. So it's a carrying of the energies upward in a projection, which we will now visualize within that predominantly indigo Antikarana, the stream of white light rising higher and higher to be met by the evocation from the spiritual triad. So inwardly we say, naught is but me. And outwardly we will sound this om on one of the blue notes, the G, the second ray note. We will sound the word of power. I see the greatest light, realizing that naught is but me, and sounding the om. I see the greatest light. Oh. Oh. And we can expect, in growing measure, a response. From the wisdom of the spiritual triad. So, we are moving together as a group into the higher spaces, and we attempt to feel the presence of the Great White Lodge . We stand on the periphery of the hierarchy, and we'll move closer and interiorly as permitted, due to our group progress, following the law of group progress. So again, let us use the sense that the Great White Lodge is present. And we'll sound the Om first. Saluting the Buddha. And his relationship with the Christ, especially at these festivals of Vaisakh and Gemini. Festival of goodwill, festival of humanity, festival of the Christ, sometimes called in the East the Asala festival. The names don't matter, but the process of Christ representing humanity before the Buddha and before Shambhala, that matters. So let us offer our salutations, our commitment to cooperate with the great ones as they attempt to make the divine plan a reality on the physical plane. Salutations to the Buddha, the Lord of Light and Wisdom. Salutations to the Christ, the master of all masters, the teacher alike of angels and of men. Salutations to the triangle of masters with whom we work most closely. Master Moria, the head of all esoteric schools and organizations. Master Kutumi, the coming Christ of the Age of Capricorn. The Master Jwalkul, training so many disciples. And to our own master, whomever we think that may be or know that may be. And salutations to the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. And imaginatively, we raise our thought to Shambhala, the center where the will of God is known, and with deepest reverence and in all humility, we attempt, identified as a group, to attune with the presence of Sanat Kumara, standing at the very center of Shambhala. And this will mean the attunement with will and purpose as well. So we will sound a long, silent Om as we imagine the group, and later more and more human beings imbued with his energy. And then our life can be lived under the impress, or the weight, as it is said, of divine will and purpose. We raise our consciousness towards Mercury, towards Venus, towards the esoteric Earth, and realize that important triangle ruling Gemini. These energies are real. They are here and growing as we approach the full moon. And we also attempt to feel towards the great solar logos with his second ray energies, the God of love, wisdom. With that love, wisdom energy pouring through all planets, through Shambhala, the monad, the soul, through hierarchy, and into the personality. The personality of the group, the personality of humanity. The forces of reconstruction are pouring in at this time. We're moving towards the great mantra of Gemini. I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. What does this mean? What is the esoteric significance of this mantra? who is the one who recognizes, and what is recognized? The familiar self wanes, and the less familiar interior self waxes and grows. And we learn to live as souls. The Christ and the Buddha, they are brothers of the West and the East. And the spiritual union, their spiritual union, signifies the coming unification of the Occident and the Orient. They are the brothers in the light. And their relationship is one of the utmost cooperation. When one thinks of the Great War fought between 1914 and 1945, without the interior work of the Buddha and the Christ, the outcome might have been very different. So these are real factors, real entities, real energy centers, and they are at work now to help redeem humanity and bring it into the Aquarian age in the right way. Preparing for the day of the full moon itself, when the Christ preaches the last sermon of the Buddha before the assembled hierarchy and the hearts and minds of all human beings, we can ponder the following words from the last sermon of the Buddha and try to live what these words suggest. He's speaking to his foremost disciple Ananda, just as the Christ Jesus would speak to John the Beloved. Herein, O Ananda, let a brother, as he dwells in the body, so regard the body that he, being strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful, may, whilst in the world, overcome the grief which arises from the body's cravings. Ponder on this. So affirm in yourself the pledge or the fact that you can be strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful in the overcoming of the grief which arises from the body's cravings, and resolve to be so. We know the matter of the body is very old. It doesn't belong really to this solar system at all. It has to be affected, reconditioned to fit with the theme of this particular solar system. It's a lot of work. And one must be strenuous, mindful, thoughtful, to overcome the backward tendencies of the matter composing the dense bodily form. So the Buddha's teaching is indispensable on the path of accepted discipleship. And of course, he did teach arhats who surrounded him. With profound gratitude to the Buddha for all he has done to illumine humanity, we now refocus our attention on the Christ. It's a different quality of energy. And with the utmost heartful attentiveness of which we are capable, we listen inwardly, imagining that we hear the Christ sounding the great invocation. And we allow a period for the silent absorption of his imagined sounding. He is said to speak the invocation out on each of the days preceding the full moon. Here some of us on earth have that day, and for some it is the day before, but the intention is there. He speaks as if alone. course, the language will be different, not in the English, more likely either a symbolically visualized language or the Pali, as it is called. But the meaning is what we seek to grasp. And now again, let us all listen inwardly with great care as we imagine the Christ and the entire hierarchy intoning the first stanza of the great invocation. And of course, we can imagine it in the language that we can understand. And we imagine that one day there will be the illumination of humanity and the planet, and we will see an enlightened human race. And our planet is a great station of light. And then we contemplate together the keynote for today, at least in some parts of the world, and very soon for all parts of our globe. The keynote of love. Let's not pretend we really know what it is. The keynote of love, in its hierarchical sense, free from sentiment, emotion, and personal emphasis. A love that sacrifices and understands that acts with strength and decision and that works on behalf of the whole and not in the interests of any group or individual. Let's ponder on those words. It's beyond liking and disliking of sentiment. It's beyond customary emotion. It's beyond the person. Or personnel. Personal. A love that sacrifices and understands. That acts with strength and decision, and that works on behalf of the whole and not in the interests of any group or individual. For a day now, we can contemplate this love in the hierarchical sense. And maybe we will see how far we are from really understanding it and being able to express it in an impersonal way, in an all-inclusive way, which sees beyond the immediate sin, so to speak, into the soul nature of the sinner. Mind as it is in Christ, and we could say the heart as it is in Christ. We envision this type of love growing in ourselves and in all human beings. And we imagine how we may apply this type of hierarchical love, so rarely expressed as of yet. And so we affirm our solidarity with the Buddha, the Christ, and the assembled hierarchy. And we seek to identify with them and to merge our purpose with their purpose and our will with their will. And imaginatively, we, as if, merge with them and bless the world in silence. We pause for a moment of appreciation of the illumined, loving energies of the constellation Gemini, resolving so many of the conflicted opposites, and we feel ourselves imbued with these energies, which are growing in strength as the full moon approaches. as if in union with the Christ, the hierarchy, the Buddha, and all disciples of the world, even in union with all humanity, we sound together the focus of the first stanza of the Great Invocation, sensing together the redemptive union of light and love. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. Thank you, friends, for participating in this preparatory meditation tomorrow night at the same time, night for us anyway, and using the same link, I believe. We will have the preparatory meditation on resurrection, which is intimately related to Gemini as the head of the cosmic Christ. So I hope to see you then, and shortly the sacred pentagram meditations will also begin. We'll keep you informed about that. And this week at least, the usual ask programs probably will not occur. We'll inform you about that. We have to concentrate on the full moon and on right human relations, which are so badly abused today. Again, the brothers are quarreling, they are fighting, and they are unable, it seems, for the moment, to address harmonization and unification, but it will come and we can help. So many blessings, everybody, and soon we will convert this, and it will go up on Makara, www.makara.us. And you can access it or let other people know about it if you wish to do so. So tomorrow night, again, we will be at work on resurrection. And thank you, everybody, for assisting on the staff. And thank you all for your attendance.